Mark and to hear him sing today. Thank you so much. Our Lord Jesus wasn't like us, but aren't you glad he went to the cross on our behalf? And good to see Brother Mark and Rhonda and so many of you today. It's a joy to be back. I was asked a few moments ago if Debbie was with me today. Her mother has not been to church for about 6 weeks, and Debbie is taking her to church today at her church in Richardsville, Kentucky. So she's not with me, but thank you, Brother Mark, that powerful message. He wasn't like us. And he did hang around with the wrong crowd. But aren't you glad that when he hung around with you, he made you part of God's family? I want to speak today on adopted forever. Adopted forever. Galatians chapter 4. If you'll turn your Bibles there, Galatians chapter 4, we're going to be thinking about the subject of adopted forever. You remember last week I mentioned that several years ago when we adopted those five action verbs to describe the mission, the vision, the passion of First Baptist Church Greenbrier, we talked about worship. Worship and then share and grow and serve and love. And last week we talked about worship. And we talked about under worship out of Isaiah 57:15, the majesty of the person of God, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. And we then looked at the marvel of his pronouncement. I dwell with you. I dwell with the one who has a humble and a contrite spirit. And then we looked at the miracle of his promise. He said, I want to revive you. I want to bring you back to life. I want to re-energize. I want your life to have value and meaning and purpose in every dimension. And so as we thought about worship, we thought about God and about how good our God is. You know, a lot of people today don't know how good God is. They may believe about a supreme being. In fact, I was talking with a young lady just a couple of weeks ago now who is trying to be free from an addiction. And she said, I've been going to this place and learning about a higher power. And I began trying to introduce to her that our God is more than a higher power. He is a God who wants to have a personal relationship with us. So we talked about the majesty of God and the marvel of his pronouncement and the miracle of his promise. That's what worship leads us to. But once we worship, when we really come to know the God of the universe, when we really have had our lives touched by him and we've been transformed by his mercy and his grace, there's something very natural that we ought to do because we want to do it. We do it about everything else. How many of you all have gotten a really, really, really good bargain at some store and immediately you went and told all your friends about how much money you had saved, and if they would go there, they could get a good bargain too? You ever done that? Don't we get excited about good things? And when something good happens to us, there's a very natural thing that happens, and that is that we want to tell other people about it. We want to share. And that's why the order of our five verbs begin with worship, and then it goes into share. We want to tell other people about what God has done for us. We want them to know that they can also enter into this relationship that we've experienced. So today I want to talk about that sharing. Over the last several years, I've been drawn to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, especially verse 6, as I've been trying to engage people with conversations about the gospel. I want to ask a question. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask the question. I want you to think about it just really intently for a moment. How many people have you spoken with personally about being saved this year? How many people have you had a conversation with about the gospel in 2014? Just think for a moment. Some of you will be able to name a person or two people, maybe three persons. But some of you may be going, wow, let me think. Don't raise your hand, but some of y'all thinking maybe that part of it. You see, we have this relationship with the Heavenly Father. And though we have that relationship, there's something that fear does. And we're afraid that if we talk with that person about the Lord, we're going to maybe drive them away from God. Well, let me just ask you this, a very simple question. If they're already away from God, where are you going to drive them? Right? And so that is a fear of Satan. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, or the spirit really of timidity. That kind of a fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so if I find myself sort of in the bondage of fear when I think about telling somebody about Jesus, that does not come from God. That comes from the adversary, and he is trying to defeat me in my attempts to share the gospel with others. Now, another reason that we often do not tell people about the Lord is that we just don't know how to get the conversation started. Can I get an amen to that? Just don't know how to get the conversation started. It sort of sounds abrupt to say, hey, did you hear about the ball game? We've been watching the World Cup. Do you think America's going to be able to win and stay in it? And by the way, do you think much about spiritual things? It sort of seems abrupt. How do we get there? I remember hearing a story many years ago. How many of y'all have ever heard the name of Billy Sunday? Used to be a baseball player who was converted and became an evangelist. And Billy Sunday was a very flamboyant speaker. Fact is, if you ever heard the old phrase, walking down the sawdust trail, he would have these big tent meetings. They put sawdust down to try to keep the mud and the dirt down. And then when he gave the invitation, people would walk down that sawdust trail to the altar to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I've read about Billy Sunday. I'm not old enough to have been alive when he was here, but I've read about him, and I've read about some of his antics. And as a baseball player, he'd have this big platform where he's preaching, and he'd take off running, and he'd drop down to his legs, and he would slide and grab a hold of a base that he had up there, and he'd go, "Safe!" And get up and talk about that some of you are going to come to heaven and just going to sort of be safe because you trusted in Jesus. And after he was preaching one day, this lady walked up to him, a very dignified lady. And she said, "Mr. Sunday, I just want to let you know that I do not approve of your methods for trying to evangelize the lost." The story goes that Billy Sunday looked at her and he said, "Well, ma'am, I appreciate your comments. I'm always willing to learn and to stretch and to grow. I hear what you're saying. Let me ask you, what method do you use?" And she sort of drew up and went, "Well, sir, I don't have a method." They said, "Well, I like mine better." But how do we engage people with the gospel? And over the last couple of years, I've really been drawn to this verse in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, if you read it there with me. "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." Abba, Father. This is a really cool word. As I have tried to engage people with the gospel over just the last several months, couple of years, there's been a hotel clerk named Justin where I was staying in the same place several months in a row, and so I'd see him about every Saturday, and the very first time I met him, I engaged him with the gospel. I talked for a couple of minutes, "Thank you for your service and for your help, and by the way, I said, I'm going to be preaching at a church tomorrow. Do you go to church anywhere?" "No, you know, I've been thinking a lot about that." And so we talked for about 5 or 6 minutes. And finally I said, "I'll tell you what, I know you've got another customer to wait on, but I'm going to write this verse down, and I'm going to ask you, maybe we can talk about it tomorrow morning, but I'm going to ask you if you'll look this up. Do you have a Bible?" He goes, "Actually, yes, I've been thinking a lot about spiritual things." I said, "Would you look this up?" He actually memorized Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And that was the first week. About the third or fourth week, I came in, began talking with him. By then, the other clerks were all saying, "Hey, Justin's been looking forward to you being here. He's been talking about all your conversations." And Justin trusted Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior, and his life was transformed, and it began by a conversation about this verse. I think about others, a PhD student named Katarina from Nuremberg, Germany, that I had the privilege of just sort of meeting and talking with for about 15 or 20 minutes and found out that she was a nominal Lutheran but really didn't have much interest in religion. And so as we talked about her religion, I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, would you feel or say that the Spirit of Jesus Christ lives in your heart and cries out, Abba, Father? Do you know the word Abba? She was fascinated. No, I've never heard that word. And so we began talking about the word Abba. And I was able to share the gospel with her. She did not make a profession of faith, but she heard the gospel. It's not my job to win people to faith in Christ. Can I get a witness to that? Whose job is that? That's the Holy Spirit's work. But it is my job to tell people about Jesus. Can I get an amen to that? There was another person, this is actually a high school senior. He was a Buddhist. Found out that he was the leader of all of the western half of the United States high school key club clubs. And he was flying from Seattle to Denver and back to Seattle, or Portland rather, not Seattle, Portland. And I was flying out for the Northwest Baptist Convention annual meeting, sitting next to him, engaged him in conversation, found out he was a Buddhist, he found out I was a Christian. I said, well, let me ask you about a couple of things about your religion. And then he asked me a couple of things about mine. And then I began to say to him, you know, it sounds like to me you have a lot of interest in spiritual things. See, a lot of people today are not interested in religion at all. But they are interested in spiritual things. And so as I was talking with him, we began talking about Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And I told him about this neat word, Abba, Abba, A-B-B-A. It's a word that is not translatable. That's why in your Bible, it has Abba, comma, Father. You see, Father is about as close as we can get in trying to figure out what the word Abba really means. And so I'm explaining this to this young man, and he was just like fascinated. And he said, this is so exciting to me. I said, do you have a Bible? He said, no, but as soon as we land and we can turn on our smart devices, I'm going to look it up I'm going to Google it, I'm going to find it, I'm going to read it. And this young man who had never heard about Jesus was introduced to the gospel. There was an unemployed man who was traveling through Nashville not long ago, and he came by our building, and I got a buzz, and I went down and talked with him and a couple of people that were traveling with him. They were trying to get to New York and looking for help and bus tickets and all that. But I talked with them about the Lord before I talked with them about bus tickets. And as I talked with them, there were two men and a lady, and they were, I'm not sure what all the relationships were, but the one man, as I began to share about the Lord, the lady, her eyes brightened up, and she said, I've just been hearing about that, and I was at a rescue mission in another town just a couple of days ago, and I prayed to receive Christ. And a few moments later, that young man bowed his head to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord. He was part of the wrong crowd, Brother Mark. But Jesus loves those in the wrong crowd, doesn't he? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's who I am. Who you are. And then Jesus comes into your life and he transforms. A Vietnamese newlywed, I was sitting next to her and her husband on an airplane, sharing with them about this verse. And she was moderately interested, this Abba Father idea. And then I said to her, I said, well, actually, the verse just before it, where it says that we have been adopted, her whole face changed. She said, adopted? I've been adopted. That's how I got to the United States. I was adopted. I was born in Vietnam, but I was adopted and brought here by a family. And my husband and I have just gotten married, and we're flying for our honeymoon. And it's really interesting that you should be sitting here next to us and talking to us about this thing. And for the next 35 or 40 minutes, she and her husband were firing questions to me about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, it opens up doors. When you know what you're going to say and you have an idea of where you're going to try to lead the conversation. And so here's what I have shared with so many of these individuals that Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 speaks about matters of the Spirit. It doesn't talk about religion. All of these individuals, there's so many others I could talk about. A man, I was flying over the Continental Divide on the way to the Colorado Baptist Convention back in November. And over the Continental Divide, is this man was a group of about 8 or 10, and they were going out. They worked for a company that manufactures all-terrain vehicles, and they were spending 4 days up in the mountains of Colorado just test driving these vehicles. And his eyes were alight. He said, "It's just going to be a blast. We're going out there to have fun and get paid to do it." I said, "Can I sign up? That sounds fun." But when I began sharing with him out of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, this man's wife had been encouraging him to go to church with her, and he had actually downloaded on his phone YouVersion. How many of y'all have ever heard of YouVersion? It's a great app that you can put on your telephone or your iPad, if you have one of those. And if you have a smartphone, you can't put on the old flip phone, but if you have a, you know, one of the other telephones, you can put on your telephone, on your computer, but you can look at YouVersion in many different translations. And he got excited and he opened up his phone, and it was in the airplane mode, but he clicked on the YouVersion thing and it came up, and he was looking at Galatians 4 verse 6 while I'm trying to tell him about it. And over the Continental Divide, this man heard about Jesus. And it's just like, that's the same thing my wife has been telling me. I want to tell you that people are hungry, but they're not interested in religion, but they are interested in spiritual things. And everyone I've spoken with is intrigued by this single untranslatable word found in the Bible, the word Abba. So today, as I think about with you adopted forever, I want to sort of look at this word, the description of the word, and then the delight in the Word and the deliverance through the Word Abba, Father, Daddy. First of all, a description of the Word. I want you to imagine with me a healthy, wholesome relationship between a father and a child, okay? Imagine with me a healthy, wholesome relationship between a father and a child. Let's say those together. Healthy, wholesome relationship. Let's say that out loud. Healthy, wholesome relationship between a father and a child. Let's just say that again. A healthy, wholesome relationship between a father and a child. You can take that one sentence and the word Abba, and you are now equipped to begin a conversation with somebody about the gospel. You can be talking about just about anything in the world, and as you talk, you can say, "By the way, do you go to church anywhere?" And they go, "Nah, I'm not really into religion. I really am not into religion either. But I am into following Jesus, who gives us a relationship with the Creator of the universe to where He becomes my Abba." Do you know the word Abba? And 99 people out of 100 will say no. The other one out of 100 will say, "Yeah, didn't they sing Dancing Queen?" And you can say to them, "Well, there was a group called that, but I'm talking about the Abba that we read about in the Bible." And let me just describe that word for you. The word Abba means, just imagine with me, I want you to picture in your mind a child who runs to the open arms of the daddy. Now this is a healthy, wholesome relationship between a father and a child. You know why I say that? Because there are a lot of people who don't have a good relationship with their dad. There are a lot of women who don't have a healthy, wholesome relationship with their father. This is the secret that nobody wants to talk about. But sexual abuse and physical abuse and verbal abuse and emotional abuse runs rampant through our culture. Domestic abuse runs rampant through our culture. And there are many people who do not have a healthy, wholesome relationship with their earthly father. And because of that, when they hear about God being the heavenly Father, it's an immediate turnoff. But when we ask them to imagine, I want you to think about it for just a moment. What would it look like if you had a healthy, wholesome relationship between yourself and your dad? Maybe you're talking to a woman, between a dad and his little girl, or between a dad and his boy. I want you to imagine that. Think about that for just a minute. And when I was sharing this with a young lady named Sarah just a couple of weeks ago, immediately tears jumped in her eyes. And I could tell by looking, that relationship did not exist. But as we began talking about that, she began to open up and talk about her deep need. And that's when she told me that she was in this recovery program from an addiction. And she knows that she needs to be thinking about a relationship with God, that He's more than just a supreme being. He's more than just a higher power. And I was able to share the gospel with her and leave for her that verse on a napkin, Galatians 4:6, and encourage her to go home and read that verse and meditate on that passage, because that may be the key that will transform her life forever. And her 9-month-old little boy needs to be raised in the environment where his mom knows Jesus. Isn't that right? And that's what it's all about. I worship the Lord, but as I worship Him, I am so enamored by the relationship that I want to tell other people about Jesus. As I mentioned, too many people have highly negative images and memories of their father. J.B. Phillips wrote a book about 50 years ago called Your God is Too Small. Maybe some of y'all read that book when it came out. I was reading through the book as a college freshman. I've been saved at the end of my high school years in the 10th grade. And a couple years later, I was reading this book, Your God is Too Small. And I have to admit that I sort of didn't like the book, because everything he was describing in the book is what I thought about God. And I got to the chapter where he said that so many people, their image of God is that God is this big being who's sort of in the balcony of heaven overlooking earth. And he's got a baseball bat in his hand. And he's just watching for us to step out of line. And as soon as we do, whap, he's going to smack us. I got to tell you, folks, that was my image of God. I was a new believer, been saved about 2.5-3 years. But I still thought that God was my enemy, even though he had reached out to me in the cross. And I began to understand for the first time as I read that book. And then I began to go through the scripture and I saw all the descriptive images of who God is and who God wants to be in your life and in my life. And what a transformation it began to work in my heart as I realized that my God is a loving heavenly Father who is filled with mercy and grace. And yes, He is the one who inhabits eternity. Yes, He is the high and lofty one. Yes, He is the one whose name is holy. But He also declares, I dwell with you. Amen. And He reaches out in love and mercy. And so many people that we encounter every day today, their image of God is so flawed. And Satan just sits wherever he sits. And he rubs his hands with glee and says, look at that. They have such a negative image of earthly fathers, they will never be drawn to the love of the heavenly Father. And that's why I like this verse. Because it really opens up so many doors to get people to think not about religion, but about a relationship with the heavenly Father who created us. Now think about that wholesome relationship. I don't have sons, but I do have a couple of grandsons. I've lived in a girl's dorm my whole life. I've got 3 sisters. I've got 3 daughters. I had a granddaughter. I had another granddaughter. And then the Lord gave me a couple of grandboys all at the same time. They call me Pops. P-O-P-S. It's short for Papa Sing. The other day, on my birthday, my daughter Lauren called me up. She said, hey, Dad, I want to call and tell you happy birthday. And got a couple of words from the kids for you. And Jordan, our little 3-year-old girl, she said, happy birthday, Pops. That warmed my heart. Well, last time I'd seen Cole and Rowan, they weren't even putting together a full sentence. And that wasn't that long ago. But all of a sudden, I heard this voice, happy birthday, Pops. And I just about came unglued. I'm thinking, this is what it's about. That's why they call grandchildren grand. Children are the rainbow, but grandchildren are the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Can I get a witness from the grandparents? Yeah. They're pretty special. And then Rowan got on a couple weeks later for Father's Day. And Aaron had been really working with them for Mother's Day to tell Lauren Happy Mother's Day. So Lauren said, "Hey, Rowan, you want to tell Pops Happy Father's Day?" "Happy Mother's Day, Pops." Oh, that's sweet. That's special. That's good stuff. That's the stuff of a relationship. And I want to tell you, that's the kind of relationship that God the Son, who is Jesus Christ, has with God the Father. And if you notice this verse, it's really intriguing. It's very interesting to me. I don't cry out, "Abba, Father." When I come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Do you hear that? God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, and it is the Spirit of His Son in me that cries out, "Abba, Father." And so the Spirit of the one who lives in me has a perfect relationship with the Heavenly Father. And in me, he informs me, but He does more. He enlivens me. He does more. He revives me. He does more. He leads me because He cries out in me, "Abba, Father, what a relationship." That is such a beautiful word. That's a relationship God wants to have with you. And that's why God sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts by faith when I receive Jesus Christ. You see, when I got saved, like you, I didn't get perfect all at once. How many of y'all got perfect all at once the day you got saved? It's taken me a lot of years and I'm still not even there. What about you? I'm still working through this whole process. But when I got saved, something perfect happened to me. The Son of God came to live in my heart and my life. And the Son of God began to work a transformation of my life. And as a new believer, I still had this flawed image about who God was. I truly was saved. I trusted Jesus. I knew that I was a sinner. And I cried out. You don't have to be on your knees, but I was on my knees in front of a cold metal chair in a Sunday school classroom on a Monday night. In May of 1971, when I said, "Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that sin has separated me from you, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I trust Jesus. Would you come into my life and save me today?" And when I made that prayer to the Lord heard that prayer, and He adopted me into His family. It doesn't mean that immediately I understood everything I was going to understand over time. And so when I'm reading this book 2.5 years later, "Your God is Too Small," I'm still thinking, I know He saved me, but He doesn't like me. Maybe y'all ever heard that old phrase, you know, you're supposed to love everybody. Well, I love Him, but I just don't like Him. I don't know, that's biblical. I want to tell you, God loves you. And God likes you. And He has sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart. And the Spirit of His Son is crying out, "Abba, Father." Relationship, relationship, relationship. The word points to adoption. Look at the whole text. I just read verse 6, but look at verse 4. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Now look at verse 6. "And because you are a son," you see, there's a coupling here, like of the train cars that pass by and they make the little noise sometime during the middle of the worship service. And often late at night, you'll hear those that plaintive cry of the train. All those cars are connected. Verse 6 is connected to verse 5. And verse 5 says, "to redeem us that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Oh, this word is such a powerful and precious word. It points to adoption. The word points to transformation. Your life will never be the same. Everywhere you go, you'll be conscious of Jesus, that Jesus is in you, that Jesus is drawing you back, back, back to the Lord. How many of you, since you were saved, you went through a period of time where you began to drift away? You began to stray from that day-to-day walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was something that kept drawing you back. Can I get a witness? Something kept drawing you back. What is it? The Spirit of His Son crying out to the Heavenly Father. You can't take His Son away from the Father. The Son has a relationship with the Father and keeps drawing you back to where you can't get too far before God says, I love you. I want you. I've changed you. Oh, come back to me. And the transformation of our lives. I really love the word that we read right here in verse 5. To redeem those. To redeem those. To buy us back. To bring us unto Himself. So the word points to adoption. The word points to transformation. There's nowhere you can flee from God. You're drawn back to Him again and again because He is the God who has transformed your life. But the word also points to relationship. How many of you have had, just maybe in the last week or two, you were watching television, just an inner voice just said, turn off the TV. You need to spend a few minutes with the Lord. And maybe you battle, it's an interesting TV show. There's nothing wrong with that TV program I'm watching. But that inner voice, just turn it off. And you turned it off, and for the next few minutes, you just began to experience again the presence and the fullness and the joy of intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father. There's the inner prompt, talk with me, walk with me. As I was driving yesterday, I had to be over in Lynchburg, Virginia for a meeting on Thursday and Friday and yesterday morning, and I left and drove all day to get back home. As I drove, I just had a lot of time just talking with the Lord. Just talking out loud. There's nothing wrong with talking out loud when you're all by yourself. Nobody thinks you're crazy. Here's something I've learned a long time ago. I like to talk out loud to the Lord. I like to do it for two reasons. Number one, it helps me stay focused on what I'm talking about. Have you ever tried to talk to the Lord mentally? Before you know, your mind is all over everything else. That's like Debbie comes home from seeing her mom, and I say, and she goes, I was thinking, hey, good to see you. But I'm just thinking it. No. We talk. We have a relationship. How's your mom? Did you have a good trip? Was everything safe? I'm sorry that, you know, we didn't get, she told me, we missed my birthday together. We missed Father's Day together. And she called me on the phone, oh, I'm so sorry I can't be there for your birthday. Don't worry about that. Your mom right now is more important. I'm going to have other birthdays, Lord willing. You know, birthdays are really good for you. Have you heard that? The more you have, the longer you live. So, you know. But there's relationship. We talk with one another. And I'm talking out loud to the Lord driving down the road. And I was telling Joe Donald a few minutes ago, we hit some really clumpy traffic. Don't you love when it starts raining and you got all these trucks on these big hills? And one of them, I told him, one of them's doing 57 in the right lane and one's doing 57 and a half in the left lane. It takes 4 miles for one of them to pass the other. And by then you have, you know, 212 other cars. And as soon as he gets past, everybody's in a hurry. And I just thought, oh man, I'm just tired of all this tension of driving. So I got to Crossville, Tennessee. I got on Highway 70, drove from Crossville to Lebanon on Highway 70. You're talking about a relaxed drive. There wasn't hardly any traffic at all. And I was just able to talk to the Lord out loud. You see, that's what intimacy is about. It's what relationship is about. Larnell Harris wrote a song some years ago. It's a song that I really like. I sing it a lot of times when I'm talking to the Lord. And I do that when I'm not around anybody else. There he was just waiting in our old familiar place, an empty spot beside him where once I used to wait to be filled with strength and wisdom for the battles of the day. I would have passed him by again if I didn't hear him say, "I miss my time with you." Those moments together, I need to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart wanting more than just a part of you. It's true. I miss my time with you. You see, when we ignore the Lord, he misses his time with us. Why? Because the Spirit of his Son is in us. And that Spirit continues to cry out, "Abba, Father." Well, that's the description of the Word. But I want to think about the delight in the Word. Over the years, I've asked engaged couples when I've done wedding ceremonies a number of things. A long time ago, I wrote a premarital plan that I use and biblical foundations, and I have what I call the four major issues of married life: faith, family, finances, and fidelity. Aren't those the big issues? But then the four other issues: friends, fun, fusses, they're going to happen, and force, how you relate to each other. Do you dominate? And I always talk about fun. And I ask the couple, "What do y'all do that's fun?" And usually they'll go, "Well, you know, we went to," what's big around here, "Holiday World. Back in the day, we went to Opryland." Well, you know, going to Opry Mills is not the same as going to Opryland. And they'll mention one or two big things they've done while they were dating. I said, No. Y'all spend time together all the time, don't you? Yeah, what do you do that's fun? Well, we talk. We have dinner. We take drives together. And they begin talking about the little things of everyday life. I want to tell you, that is the fun of the Christian life. I just spend time with God every day. This morning when I got up early, I went out and sat on the back porch, and the humidity was in the air, and then the rain began to fall. How many of you were out when the rain began to come down? And just listening to the sound of the rain and the swoosh of the air being pushed by the rain as it began to come down, and just spending those few minutes and watching the rabbits out in the yard. That's why I got a fence around my garden. But watching them and just enjoying the dawning of the day and the creation that God has made, and then just talking out loud for a few moments about the excitement of having a new day of worship and coming and worshiping the Lord with friends and talking about Jesus and spending time with the people of God and not even knowing I was going to hear a song that reminds us that he's not like us, but he came for us. You see, there's delight in the Word when I know who Jesus is. And I've been adopted into his family. And we celebrated a moment ago. I couldn't help but think about Kara and Owen. K-O, K-O or O-K. Can I get an amen on that? They're going to come home. And there's going to be fun. But this little boy is going to have a new family and a daddy who loves him and a mama who showers him with affection and a little sister who's going to be trying to figure all this out for a while. But there's relationship. And maybe a year or so when he's a little bit bigger and able to run and say, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy," and jump into Nathan's arms, and Nathan swings him up in the air and swoops him around and takes him by the ankles and throws him over his shoulder and pulls him back. And how many of y'all ever did that with your kids? Yeah. And the day's going to come where they're out in the yard and Kara's over here with a little glove that's too big for her hand, and Owen's over here with a littler glove that's too big for his hands, and Nathan and Jennifer, and they're taking the ball and they're throwing it as easy as they can, and while they're pitching the ball back and forth, they're going to be talking about the things of life. There's relationship. I've been brought into God's family. Oh, there's delight. Abba, Father. Sometimes it's sitting in God's lap. You know, we never get too old just to be held in God's lap for a few minutes, are we? Never too old. We're never too old. Sometimes it's asking God's advice. Sometimes it's talking while pitching the ball in the backyard. Sometimes to God. I mean, how many teenagers have ever gone, "Dad"? And sometimes don't we do that to God? "Lord, I don't understand that." But He's never intimidated by our questions because we have a relationship with Him. But always it's real. The delight in the Word. But then I want to mention the relationship through the Word. Everything we've said points to relationship. How often have you heard a preacher say that salvation through Jesus Christ is not religion, it's relationship? It's because it is. It's based on some historical and interpersonal realities. Let's look at these verses real quickly. I'm just going to give you this is an outline that I've written, and I just think about this outline a lot. In the fullness of time, when the fullness of time had come, in the perfect period, God acted. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. God sent forth the peerless person. In the perfect period, the peerless person. Nobody ever liked Jesus. He's not like us. Nobody ever liked Jesus. Made of a woman, made under the law, but the Son of God. And through His perfection, He was able to bear my sin in His body on the cross. That through His death and His burial and His resurrection, I can be redeemed from my sin. And so in verse 5, to redeem us who are under the law, that's the priceless purchase. You're not redeemed with silver or gold or corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. That we might receive the adoption as sons, that's the princely promotion. I've been promoted from being a nobody to being a somebody because I'm a child of the King. And then we read in verse 6, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Oh, I love this. I tried to think about, you know, what do I say? Perfect period, peerless person, priceless purchase, princely promotion. What fits here? The pardoning presence? Well, it's there, isn't it? The purifying presence? Well, it's there. The preserving presence? It's there, but I like this one. The personal presence. God Himself has come to live in me. Crying out, "Abba, Father," that's the precious privilege. Oh God, I want to thank You that Jesus came into my life and saved me, and He is now crying out to You, "Abba, Father." What a precious, precious privilege. And then verse 7. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. It is a permanent possession. A permanent possession. We are adopted forever into the family of God. We're going to do a little post-sermon quiz. Can you tell me the four-letter untranslatable word that served as the focus of our text today? Abba. That word can become for you a bridge to introduce a conversation about Jesus with just about anybody. And you just go to Galatians 4:6, G-A-L, Gal 4:6. It's the ninth book of the New Testament, 9:4. However you want to remember it, Galatians 4:6. And then I want you to remember that the word Abba describes a healthy, wholesome relationship between a father and a child. Can you say those words with me? A healthy, wholesome relationship between a father and a child. Five key words. Healthy, wholesome relationship, father, child. And with that, you are equipped to know how to introduce sharing what you know with someone else who needs to know Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me, please? I want to ask you a question this morning. Does the Spirit of His Son dwell in your heart? And does the Spirit of His Son that dwells in your heart cry out, Abba, Father? You see, if that doesn't happen for you, then you don't have a relationship. All you have is religion. And religion will never take you anywhere except to hell. A relationship brings you into the family of God forever. You become His adopted son, His adopted daughter, for all of this life and for all of eternity to follow. And I want to ask you this morning, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Has there been that time in your life when you've said, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I have a desperate need for a Savior. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior forever. If there's not been that time, today would be a wonderful day. The last day of the first half of the year, the first half of the year in 2014. What a time to say, I want a fresh start for the second half. I want Jesus to dwell in me. I want Christ to cry out in me, Abba, Father. I want to have that intimate relationship with God. I'm going to invite you to come this morning. Just take me by the hand. Say, Brother Singh, I need Jesus. And I'm trusting in Christ today. But then some of you here this morning, you've already been thinking about, the Lord has been putting on your heart, somebody in your family, your circle of friends that you probably will see or talk with during the July the 4th holiday weekend. I want to encourage you to say, Lord, give me the courage and show me the window of opportunity to introduce the word Abba and talk with this family member, with this friend about Jesus. Because more than anything else, I want them to go to heaven with me. I want them to know You. I want their lives to be transformed. Father, when we worship You, the majesty of Your person and the marvel of Your pronouncement and the miracle of Your promise, it makes us want to share, to tell others that they too can be adopted forever through Jesus Christ. In Your name we pray. Amen.